Our first public hearing is conditional use number 1832, Hazard Auto Repair.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district and a GR general residential district for an auto repair shop and contractor storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 2.404 acres, more or less, lying north of Road 280B, also known as Connolly's Chapel Road, 100 feet east of Road 288, also known as Will King Road. The commission staff on June 1st of 2010 received a small exhibit booklet, which is approximately a quarter inch thick. It is a part of the record. And that exhibit booklet contains a cover letter, the purpose of a conditional use, copies of portions of the comprehensive plan update referencing future land use plan and zoning, the structure of the future land use plan and growth areas, a copy of a portion of the future land use map depicting the area and a chart, a copy of a portion of the tax map of the area showing the zoning and the site, a copy of the survey of the site showing existing improvements, an aerial of the general area and site, a series of photographs, a portion of the site plan for the application, a copy of the DLDOT support facilities report, and suggested proposed conditions. We also received on October 22nd, 2008, DLDOT provided the staff with comments in the form of a support facilities report and referenced that a traffic impact study was not recommended. That the current level of service A could change to a level of service B, referencing existing conditions with development under existing zoning, which includes existing peak hour traffic plus site generated traffic and projected levels of service with no highway improvements during a peak hour. Today, June 10th of 2010, DLDOT submitted revised comments in the form of the same support facility report, correcting the previously referenced report in reference that a traffic impact study is still not recommended, that the current level of service A of Road 288 and the current level of service A of Road 280B could change to a level of service B, referencing again existing conditions with development under existing zoning, which includes existing peak hour traffic plus site generated traffic and projected level of service with no highway improvements during peak hour. On June 4th of 2010, we received comments from the Sussex Conservation District in the form of a memorandum and reference that there are four soil types on this parcel, that the applicant will be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation, that no storm flood hazard areas or tax ditches are affected, that no off-site drainage improvements will be necessary, and that it may be possible that on-site drainage improvements will be necessary. On June 7th of 2010, County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division provided comments in the form of a memorandum and reference that the site is located in the North Coastal Planning Area, that the applicant intends to utilize an on-site septic system, that conformity to the North Coastal Planning Study will be required, that the proposed project is not in an area where the county currently plans to provide sewer service, and that a concept plan is not required. On June 8th of 2010, we received a letter from Margaret H. Smith and Eleanor L. Bennett in opposition to the application and stating that the application is defective and should be removed from consideration, and referencing that the DLDOT report dated October 22nd of 2008 references that a traffic impact study is not recommended, that the report is almost 2 years old, that the report references the wrong road, that it is a report on Road 288, also known as Will King Road, and that the application is for Road 280B, also known as Connolly's Chapel Road. And gentlemen, that's all the comments we received today.
All right, sir, we thank you. Before we get started, just if you would be so kind, folks, is to give me some indication of who's here with an interest in this application. Okay. I just want to let you know that that there will probably be some exhibits up here. They're hard to see from where you are. If you would like to get up and take a look at them while the hearing's going on, please feel free to do so. I just ask that you would do it quietly. We can't come up here and have a little meeting in front of it, but if you want to come up and look, get a closer look, please feel free to do so. And after the applicant has put on his presentation, you will be given an opportunity to respond to that. So, and with that, the chair recognizes Mr. Willard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tim Willard with Fuqua, Urey & Willard here in Georgetown. I represent the applicant, which is Hazard Auto Repair. Just to start where Mr. Lank left off, there was the one letter that was submitted by Mr. Bennett, I guess, and Mrs. Smith about the traffic impact study report being flawed because it referenced a different road. Mr. Lank also pointed out that you just received a letter showing that it did reference 280B and 288, so I think you have that in your record. For everybody that's here tonight, the booklet I have that the commission has is available if anybody wants it afterwards, and there are only two exhibits. One is the survey, and then I'll show you the site plan. If you can see it, I only have one copy, so I put it up that way. And I'll try to be efficient because I know you got other things going on tonight. Gentlemen, this is a conditional use application to operate auto repair business and also to have four units for contractor storage. Michael Hazard is who I represent in Hazard Auto Repair. Michael and his family have been from this property. I think his farm dates from this area probably to 1890. He lives across the street from this property, as does his mother. He has formerly worked for Diver Chevrolet. He actually operated auto repair business there for like a year, and then it burnt down many years ago. And for the longest time, he's had an auto repair business in the town of Lewis, right when you go on Savannah Road, before you get to the hospital on the right-hand side. I think it's a Sunoco station. He's been there for many years. He intends to stay there. It's in a good location, a good part of town. He's got a great client base there, so he intends to stay there. He personally intends to, if you all or council sees fit to grant this conditional use, to have an auto repair shop here as sort of a secondary shop, and also, as I'll get into, to fix up the property and clean it up and divide the chicken house so it can be used for contractors who work in this area. The booklet that I submitted to you, I'll use that to go through as far as my outline's concerned. You all know the standard for conditional use, that it's semi-public or public, and we believe this meets that standard to the extent he'll be providing locations where contractors can be housed that serve the community, as well as auto repair, which is necessary. In tab two, you'll see your comp plan, and the property is somewhat interesting because it's covered two areas of the comp plan. The comp plan identifies the front of the property, and if you will, and there's a map in there, the front being, this is Conley's Chapel, and that's Will King. A large portion of the front goes on either side of Will King as GR. So your comp plan calls that mixed use. And the mixed use is a subcategory of a growth area. And if you look in tab two, it indicates what growth areas are. And I have the colored map in there. Although the maps are hard to blow up and show, you can see that that's the intersection there. So it is technically half in a growth area, and which calls for mixed use and some development. And we bring that to your attention because it's significant. Your comp plan is ultimately the guide in how you make decisions in land use. The next tab I have for you actually shows the tax map from your county map, and that shows more clearly as the GR is colored in green. They all should be colored where it comes down, and the blue is Mr. Hazard's property. Although this site is actually 5.5 acres, and I'm sorry, the second page of tab three also has a colored zoning map, and you can see the yellow is actually the GR, and his portion is half GR or mixed residential, which calls for growth. If you turn to tab four, it's just a reduction of actually what you see here on this side, which is probably where most of these people are from, Conley's Chapel,
residential. This side is Mrs. Hazard's property. They had the whole farm originally. Mr. Hazard lived across the street, and the GR runs all along the road right there, Wolfgang Road, which you all know the standards for that is manufactured homes and smaller density. But what you see in tab 4 is the actual survey and site plan. In tab 5, I also have an aerial photograph of the property. And, you know, it is an old, beat-up chicken house that has a lot of equipment near it. In the front of the property is a residence and a old garage. And there's a blockhouse, which is the pink building right to the north. And that was built probably 40 years ago. It has some brick trim, but it's a block building. Michael's dad originally used that for welding, mainly for farmers and some auto repair. What Mr. Hazard intends to do is, over time, if you grant this to him, fix up the property. And as you can see, the conditional use we're asking for doesn't cover all the agricultural property. The GR cuts about right here, but we're asking for the conditional use for just about a little over 2 acres. And what's he want to do? He wants to cut up the chicken house, fix it up, re-roof it, salvage it, side it, and clean it up, quite frankly, and provide each one of these units for a carpenter, a gardener, or electrician, or somebody like that that just needs a place to keep his truck and keep his supplies to service this area of the county. In the front, the only thing that will be left is this pink block building where his father worked, and attached to that would be a 55 by 50 auto repair, or would be a building, which he intends to design more like a farm structure that has some, you know, appeal to the agricultural, residential, you know, neighborhood that this is in. What will happen is the old house and the garage would all be torn down, and everything that would really transpire would be, the parking would be in the back here, the entrance would be in the back here, so in the front here, you would just have the drive and see the facade. And I think that's one feature of this conditional use, that activity would be in the back. What kind of activity for the contractors? It would be what contractors do. They go out on service calls. They come in the morning, they load up and leave, and come home at night and leave their cars there. There probably will be available some parking in these, their trucks in here if they're late, or they each have a couple spaces out here. As far as in the near future here, he doesn't expect to expand. It's a relatively small facility, so we might have one or two employees and may have, you know, at the most half a dozen cars that would be serviced at one time for overnight. And that's basically his plan. That's what he wants to do. He doesn't want to happen overnight. He's really, quite frankly, wants to clean up the property and use it for something that could benefit the area and make it economically feasible. If you see on tab 5, you'll see a picture of the area. You can see the chicken house needs work. There needs to be some landscaping around there. You see the old block building, which is in fairly decent shape, was built some time ago. The tab 6 for your review is a closer view of the site plan. Tab 7, we've already talked about the TIS. There's no recommendation for it. Mr. Hazard met with, I think, about a half dozen people from the neighborhood next door and at his property. They looked at the site. We've offered some proposed conditions. And, you know, obviously, there are people here that will just say, no, this is residential. And we're saying the comp plan says it's mixed residential, which is a growth area. There's been use there for years in the front, you know, with the larger garage. And we don't disagree that there should not be intensive use or commercial or high traffic use. But our submission that for a semi-public use, that this is reasonable. And you can disagree. We're certainly open to conditions, and there's some, to the extent this is buffered with his mom's property over here and agriculture, There's one neighbor that said they don't have any opposition to this. I think she lives here, Michael, somewhere. Actually, I'll have a letter I'll submit. But, you know, as far as landscaping, we've offered to put landscaping laylands along this property here. Otherwise, the visibility of the property shouldn't be much more than that, and there should not be, the activity should be to the property should be limited. With the proposed conditions, we've offered a limited hours of operation from 7 to 6 Monday through Friday and 7 to 1 just on Saturday and not on Sunday. There only should be one sign located just at the entrance of the property. And then we offered a condition that just each tenant could have a sign on their property identifying it, and maybe one sign on the actual building itself, no more than 3x3. There will be no hazardous material stored on the property, and also a condition that no material will be stored outside of the four units except for natural material, if it's wood or stone or something like landscaping material. I have a letter here that, if I could hand up to Mr. Lank, from Darlene Johnson, Lot 68A in Chapel Green, and I believe she's right on his border there. Basically, she says, in the event you are considering requesting Mr. Hazard erect a fence along the property line adjacent to mine, I ask with all due respect that you do not require him to do this. And then she says she doesn't want a fence there. She thinks it would block her access. And of course, we have no problem with that. But that's why we're offering, you know, landscaping, significant landscaping, if you see fit. And I'll hand that letter to Mr. Lank, if I may.
Okay. Thanks, sir.
I have another letter here, and a very brief one, from Loretta Ross with regard to, and her address is Connors Chapel Road, with regard to the rezoning of the Hazard property. I have no objection to this change, which is currently in question. And that's dated June 9th, and I'll hand that up to Mr. Lank. And I'm just going to call Mr. Hazard up here for a moment. Michael, you want to stand up? You've heard my representations to the commission about your conditional use application, how you want to lay it out per the site plan, and what you intend to use it for. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Is there anything that you'd like to add to the commission about the application?
That is just I'm trying to clean up the property and make use of my property to benefit the community and the family, of course, but just to make it more appealing to the area. That's basically it.
And the last thing I'd like to submit, perhaps to Mr. Burrell, is just propose finding of fact. Gentlemen, if you don't have any other questions for me, I'll sit down.
Well, let's see if anybody has any questions for you. We'll start with Mr. Burton.
You mentioned that there would be no outside storage of anything other than the wood and the stones with the contractors. What do you anticipate as far as outside storage on the auto repair?
I'll let Michael answer that.
It's going to be kept to the minimum, plus all of my parking is in the rear, so it will not be pretty much hidden from the view of the road. And I'm not using this as a high-volume garage. A lot of it I want to do as far as street rods and project cars that will be kept inside while we're working on them. And a few oil changes or brakes or something, but nothing major.
And I should probably know this, but I don't. How many bays is a 55 by 60 built?
Well, a lot of it, like project cars, I mean, it takes a lot of area because you're pulling the bodies off the frame, so you need extra area to disassemble the car to give you room to work, and that's basically what the big shop is for.
Okay, so mainly what you're saying is that it's not really auto repair, it's a...
Like a street rod or, yeah.
Are you currently doing that now?
Yes, I do.
At the place in Lewis?
Yes, but it's at the minimum because it takes so much area to do, and I don't have the space available there.
Okay. The site plan shows that there's two entrances. Would the entrance off of 288 stay? Off of 288 that comes in off the back.
Off of Will King?
Off of Will King.
That is actually, that property is my brother's property. So that's basically his entrance. We share the entrances. But the entrance for my property will come off of Colony Chapel for my...
I think, Mr. Burton, that will not be an entrance for the auto repair business by any means.
How do you limit that?
Well, I think signage, but we would do what would be necessary, I think, to limit it. Your point's a good one, but it's not the intention to have that used.
And DelDOT will make that determination anyway.
Yeah, we'll have to get entrance permit anyway because we're moving it, but, you know, ultimately.
Because that's actually the entrance for the adjacent property, my brother's property. That's on the very corner.
Okay, Stephen.
Stephen, yes.
That's how you get to his place. Are you proposing the existing concrete drive and then how wide is that entrance plan all being? It looks like you got two driveways there.
Yeah, it's... I think the concrete is approximately 30 feet of concrete. And then there's a road that has been clamshell. It's been there for years. That's what we use for the farm itself.
So you would leave that as a wide open...
Space, right. You would actually come in and have to go to the right to go around the building. I'm not proposing to move the entrance that's been existing.
Okay. Mr. Wild, you mentioned sign... One sign for the auto repair and then signs for the units 1 through 4. Is that?
Well, I think the proposal or our intent is not to have signage for the contractors because that's just for them to leave their equipment and organize their work. That's not for people to be visiting them, so we don't want to encourage that. So the sign would just be for the auto repair business.
Will there be any offices at all back here, or would it all
no.
be
no.
all be storage?
Just
so
storage.
Storage.
That's what the leases would be for. Okay. And there seems to be, you know, even despite this economy, for all you know, the contractors that are out of work, there always seems to be some demand for this kind of small space to be able to house your stuff where you can, and you know, subdivision.
I just looked at unit one; has like a little bumped out thing.
The existing building.
It's an existing. Would you be operating a tow service out of this?
No, sir.
Location? Do you currently operate a tow service in?
I have a tow service for business hours only. I have a local contractor that does my towing for me, for my business in Lewis.
Okay. The fencing that is here—it says fence to be removed. Will there be any fencing at all on this property?
Fencing to be.
Does fence to be removed right above the two proposed parking spots?
Is there one behind the house here?
There was a. It was just a fence that was there for the house that they had a dog, and that's been removed. That's been gone for quite a while.
Where would the fencing be? I see that you have certain the right corner of the drawing. You have two fences. How far back does that go? And does it go further north up Conley's Chapel Road?
The fencing? I don't have a fence on my property. Conley's Chapel has a split rail that comes up to our property.
Yeah, I think, Mr. Burton, there's a fence that went around the right side of the house there. You can see it sort of stored.
Okay, yeah, that was, a dog fence.
Okay.
It was just a cheap wire fence that has been removed.
Are you proposing any fencing at all?
No, sir.
Okay, and the landscaping that you talked about that would run along the back of lot 65 and 66, you have a dirt drive there. Would the landscaping be?
There's actually already trees along that property that Conley's Chapel had put in a number of years ago. And they also have a berm, a dirt berm that's there on partial. It's not a complete.
But you are not proposing any landscaping to separate?
Our seventh condition is landscaping shall be planted on the residential border. So the answer to that question is yes. To the extent council gives us preliminary, we come back for final,
you know, we could show it in more detail. But we offered that as a condition. If, you know,
they said their trees actually block a lot of it now. And Mrs. Johnson, who lives in front, she's the one that wrote the letter. She didn't want a fence because I do allow them to put firewood on my property, so they didn't want to be able to have to drive around to get to it. And as long as I clean it up, that's what they're looking for, because they've lived in front of that chicken house for 10 years, I believe, or whatever it's been.
Okay. Are you planning on blacktopping any of this, or will it all be...
In front of the building, probably some blacktopping, and then just a small pad outside the doors of the building. A lot of it's clamshells now.
No further questions.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Willard, you, Mr. Burton answered some of my questions. Insofar as the days and hours, which you indicated, Mr. Willard, in your exhibit book, how would the applicant put a control on any of the contractors that would rent these spaces if this was approved?
Well, legally, they would have leases, and if the lease required those hours, they would be enforceable with a commercial lease, which would be like a contract. That's the legal answer. If you say you can rent this property and you can use it at this time, that's how that would be done. If it got to a point where you needed to chain it and have keys and things were deteriorating, but that's the intent. And he would want tenants that wouldn't be in there after hours.
I live across the street, so I wouldn't want it in my backyard, so I'm not trying to put it in someone else's backyard also.
And that would be a good way to monitor it, that is the fact that he lives there.
So that would be a control?
Absolutely.
What you're saying. Okay. If you had this approval and you had these contractor bays and what you've requested in the shop, you're indicating on-site septic. Do you have any, other than the residential house, is there any septic on the site now? Have you done any?
There's a approved mound septic on the site, and the use would not be increased. In fact, the residential house would be removed, so we'd have to comply with if there's any alteration, but in the construction process with any permitting. So,
any anticipation of associated noise or manufacturing on the site from what could be your prospective tenants?
No, well. I'll let Michael answer this, but and we can add that as a condition, but it will be a condition of the lease that there will be no manufacturing or to take place on, and I've seen you all approve similar language, that there's no manufacturing to be take place in any of those units. They're just for storage alone. So,
another comment that you made in here, number three, and Mr. Burton handled this to my satisfaction, but I need to explain to me about the outside storage. Other than natural landscaping or masonry material, what would I expect that to be, to look like? Is that mulches? Is that stone?
That's block? That I drafted that, and that's what I intended it to be. Nothing natural is pretty definable. That is, it's chopped up wood, it's sand, it's rock. That's what I intended it to be.
Any anticipation of deliveries to the site by either tractor-trailer vehicles or FedEx, UPS type?
Well, they would probably be delivered on the business hours, and there's plenty of entrance, and we used it for a farm, so we had plenty of tractor and trailers in there. So there's plenty of room to pull in, back up, and pull out without disturbing anyone else. They wouldn't be stuck on the road. They could pull it directly into the property.
And to my understanding, that if this application were forwarded with a recommendation and County Council acted on it, that you said that the applicant's intent is to clean up the property over time. What was the words that you used? You're aware that the conditional use has a clock that's running?
Yes, sir. I definitely am aware of that, and I think it was just extended to 3 years. But we're aware of that. And, I think
I've been to the property, and I think that's Mr. Hazard wants to move on, and that would be number one first step to clean it up and start working on the chicken house. It's, you know, unless we have permission from you, we can't, you know, we can't do that. There's, you know, what, so that's really what we want to do. Obviously, there are other things we can do, other things maybe these people want us to do, but this is, you know, a plan for the future, so.
And if this were denied, would there still be a catalyst to clean up the property? You mentioned that you live across from it.
I have been in the process of cleaning up the property, just like the block building after my
Ladies
fire.
Ladies and gentlemen, folks at the podium have the floor. Appreciate it if you would keep the comments to yourselves, and then you may share them at the appropriate time. All right, gentlemen, go ahead.
I've been in the process of cleaning up the property. The block shop has been redone. New windows and roof and brick around the window to make it look more appealing. And that would continue to clean up. And it's been a farm for over 100 years, so there's a lot of stuff there that's been there that we have removed.
Right. I understand that. And I had not noticed the shop and all. So... before viewing the site, so I don't know, I don't have a clear recollection of what it looked like last year, but it did seem, at least up on the road, that you made some effort to do a cleanup. And I understand I own some unimproved property myself, and it does take a lot of maintenance.
It's
more
money.
Of a comment than a question. I am a little surprised that there wasn't more effort, I think, before this came in front of the Planning Commission to do some, to, you know, put on a shinier penny than what was there, because I'm guessing what this application was filed perhaps a year and a half ago.
Yes, and in fact, what I think Mrs. Smith or Mr. Bennett pointed out, the TIS or the service evaluation was 08. So yeah, it was filed in December of 08. So yeah.
Like I said, all right. That's it for me, sir.
All right, so Mr. Ross?
Just on the demolition, how do you plan on handling the demolition as far as debris removal, and what kind of time frame do you have for that refurbishing of the chicken house?
Once the demolition starts, I want to finish the demolition and close the buildings in so we can make them weatherproof, and then I will do each unit at a time. I don't have the finances to do the project all at once.
Which comes first, the demolition of the chicken house and remodeling, or the new 50 by 60 foot?
The chicken house will be first.
It appears that the driveway, I was up there yesterday, is a pretty common driveway between your brother and yourself. I mean, in fact, I drove in pretty much the proposed driveway and drove out with his driveway with his permission, I might add. I take it you guys get along pretty well then.
We're brothers, so, yeah.
I understand. Okay, I have similar concerns to Mr. Burton. I guess at some point, you know, maybe that can be further delineated, as long as you two can agree on that, so traffic isn't driving through like I did yesterday. The landscaping, do you have any kind of more specificity as to what you plan on putting up for landscaping, whether they be deciduous trees or bushes or shrubs?
Well, I'll probably do a mixture of both. Like you said, it is a farm, so I'm trying to keep it more like a farm look. So, like you said, grass around the buildings and the clamshell driveways, trying to keep that clean.
You plan on removing the residence?
Yes.
That's there. Will you have retain the septic? There's an on-site septic?
Right? That's a very old septic. It's a the old, what's it
cesspool.
Called? Cesspool, yes, sir.
Oh, that would be abandoned, most likely.
Yes.
And then you mentioned having maybe one or two employees.
Yes, sir.
There. And will there be sanitary facilities for those employees?
I have another property there that has a restroom in it that, like I said, has a mound system that's been approved and is in use.
No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Lang?
No questions.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Mr. Burrell?
Yes, sir.
All right, gentlemen. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, sir. Mr. Burton.
One last one. What type of lighting are you anticipating running down the down the back of the units 1, 2, 3, and 4 are in front. I mean, how much lighting is going to be cast?
Not very much. I was just planning on putting like a halogen over top of the entrance, but not like a whole parking light. Yes, of each unit.
Yeah, if I may, Mr. Burton, that's a very good point, and that's an oversight. I should have offered that condition because we do intend to do that, and it would be the kind of lighting. There won't be much activity in the back, obviously, because there's no door or entrance there, or the back being to Conley Chapel. But we will offer...
Road there.
Excuse me?
You have a road going back there.
Yeah, that's not the one that's actually an old dirt road.
It's been there for years.
Yeah, that's not the one that's intended to be used by the tenants. It's more of a you know, emergency. It's been there for years. But just to answer your question, you know, we'd like to have each building lighted for security, but with directional light that doesn't shine, you know, out or upwards at all.
Any pole lighting? It'll all be on the building?
It's not intended. It would be on the building.
It would be on the building, not a pole.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, gentlemen, if you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1832, Hazard Auto Repair? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1832? All right, we'll start over here with this lady right here. I think had her hand in the air. It would be you. You would give us your name, and for the benefit of the commission, if
Mary Lipsey. I live at Chapel Green, number 18, Ancient Oak Drive.
And how far away from the site would you say?
At the far, his property, mm-hmm. Around the corner.
Okay.
We came here, my husband and I, in 1992, and we was three houses for sale. We picked one. It's on the other side of the street, not back up to his farm. But we put a down payment. My husband said, let's look at the neighborhood. We went around the corner, saw Mr. Hazard's property, and we took our check back. We went back and got our check back. We weren't going to buy the property. Mm-hmm. So the real estate agent said, well, we're going to talk to Mr. Hazard about cleaning up his property. There was 40 cars there. They're still there somewhere, and he's got the grass 7 foot high. Around the property. It's hard to see what's there now because he has a big old Doberman picture. So I don't go to the other house. But there must have been 30 to 40 cars. I've been there for 18 years. He's not going to move them. He's just going to get more cars. And he was asked before to move it, but he claimed he was agricultural property. He didn't have to move anything. It was his farm. He could dump anything he wanted out there. And he did for years. Refrigerators, washers, dryers, golf carts. You never saw so much. I thought it was the Sussex County dump. I mean, I was. That's why I took my check back. I was afraid the ground would be toxic. And I'm sure if somebody went out there and tested it after all those years, the Superfund would be there. I mean, really. And he wants to put a garage there and make it worse. There are 7 or 8 widows on that street backing up to his property. All their husbands died. That they're scared of death. They hear all the noise there, banging. He's working. I guess he's fixing cars up, you know, on his property. But he hasn't moved anything in 18 years, except 3 weeks ago he put a dump truck there, and it's still there. And he's got this big black curtain hanging over his garage where the door used to be. And that's supposed to be his decorations, I guess. He doesn't know how to clean up, that's all. And he won't. It'll just get worse if he has a garage there. So I'm just, for the people at Chapel Green, they have money in that property. They don't want to have that back of their farms. He'll put cars back there if he's allowed to. So I'd like you to keep it in mind.
Okay.
Okay.
Could I get your name, please?
I can't hear you.
Could I get your name?
Mary Livesey, Livesey.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right.
I have... neglected to ask if there are any spokespeople here representing a group. Okay, thank you. If you would be next, spokespersons go first, and then anyone else who would like to speak. If you give us your name, tell us who you're speaking for.
Good evening. My name is Ann Conlon. I live at 103 Alderleaf Court in the community of Chapel Green, Lewis. I'd like to give you an overview of our community's reaction to the proposal for Hazard Auto Repair.
Just just for the record, I know you know, and I think I know, but would you tell us what group you are representing?
Concerned residents of Chapel Green and the nearby area of Conley Chapel Road.
Excellent. Go ahead.
We would like to remind the commission that this proposal is in a low-density level 4 area, an area in which it is our understanding that the state does not support development, an area in which the state will not provide financial support for infrastructure. In addition, Sussex County's comprehensive plan's future land use element includes the following statements about permitted uses in low-density areas, and I quote, "The primary uses envisioned in low-density areas are agricultural activities and single-family detached homes." It also states, "More intense commercial uses, such as auto repair and gasoline sales, should be avoided in these areas." We've done a lot of work putting our response together. We've put together the written packet that you're each looking at now. Members of our community have gone to each household in Chapel Green and visited homes in the nearby Conley's Chapel Road area with a petition. 318 residents have signed that petition in opposition to the hazard auto repair application. The petitions are contained in your packets. 5 speakers are prepared to present our arguments to you. I'd like to point out to the commissioners that a lot more Chapel Green residents would have liked to speak tonight. However, in the interest of your time and ours, we've tried to condense our concerns using 5 speakers to present our arguments. Their comments will be concise, focused, and non-repetitive. Before I introduce our first speaker, I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge all of the concerned neighbors from Chapel Green and Conley's Chapel Road area who are here tonight opposing the hazard auto repair proposal. Could they raise their hands for a moment if you're opposed? Do you want a head count?
We'll do that at the end.
Okay, thank you. Right. 4 of our speakers are residents of Chapel Green. 1 of our speakers is a Conley's Chapel Road resident. Our speakers are going to include John Novosel, Eleanor Bennett, Francis Mast, Pete Blessinger, and Bob Woods. Thank you.
All right, then. Now we've moved to Mistress of Ceremonies. So who would be the next speaker, then? Who's your next speaker? Okay, right ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. My name's John Novosel. I live at 32043 Conley Chapel Road. My wife and I moved there back in 2000. We are a group. I'm one of 8 homes along that road that bought large parcels, 5 to 17 acres, each of these 8 homes. Home sites, we all built substantial homes in that community with the idea we would have quiet enjoyment of our property. We never envisioned that we would end up with a towing facility, storage lot, and auto repair. There are lots of areas in the county. If Mr. Hazard doesn't feel his present facility affords him the opportunity to carry on his livelihood, he can go to Route 1, Millsboro, Long Neck Road. There are lots of areas already zoned by the county. We don't need a rezoning in a residential area. We really don't. I would welcome Mr. Hazard cleaning up his property. It has been an eyesore for the 10 years we've lived there, and we see very little work being done. I understand he'd like to do more work, but we shouldn't have to give him rezoning in order to encourage him to install some landscaping or to improve this chicken coop that has stood there that's rotting and rusting day by day. And it, nothing, very little has been done to his facility for the 10 years we've lived there. Chapel Green has 200 homes. Chapel Conley's Village around the corner, 40 homes. We have a new Oakwood Village on Wilking Road that is struggling and now is getting off the ground. There are four more newly constructed homes. This is a residential area is what I'm trying to state, and we want to keep it that way. We don't want storage facility or repair or towing in our neighborhood. We don't need it. If we want those facilities, we can go to Route 1, Millsboro, or Long Neck Road. That's enough. I think I've voiced my opposition, and I hope you concur and deny this request. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. Okay. There were, ladies and gentlemen, absolutely, absolutely not. You're disappointing me. I know you're not that poor, listeners. You heard the gentleman say no applause. Now don't tell me you didn't understand that. I know you did. I know you're excited about this and you feel passionately, but we just don't permit those kind of outbursts in our meeting. Okay, that was number one. There are four more, I believe the lady said. So who's next? Who would be the next Conley Mill person? Conley Chapel.
Good evening. My name is Eleanor Bennett, and I've lived in Chapel Green for 11 years. My husband and I moved there. Last year, I lost Charlie. He had Alzheimer's. Fortunately, I was able to take care of him for 4 years, but towards the end, I had to put him in a nursing home. He broke his hip. When Medicare ran out, I had to pay $7,500 for his care a month. I'm worried that if I get sick, I only have one asset, and that's my house. So what I'm asking is that please help us. I have three children and seven grandchildren, and I'd like to pass on something to them. But my home is not far from the chicken coops. But they've mentioned the berm. Well, Margaret Smith and I wrote the letter to Langdon. We're right as where the berm stops. So every time it rains, we have water in our property. In fact, may I?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. Help yourself.
Wrong one.
Lower right.
You can help her, sir, if you like.
This is my house right here. And every time it rains, all this water comes in here. All these trees were killed. Margaret had to replace her trees, and I just recently paid $4,000 to replace my trees. And we see the back of Mr. Hazard's property. I'm sorry.
You're fine. Just take a deep breath and...
I'm sorry?
Just take a deep breath and hurry on. There you go. Just relax, just like being in your living room. You and I are just having a conversation.
Okay. I want you gentlemen to protect my property, the property value, and something for us to me to pass on to my other my children. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Okay, we've got three more, I think, from the Chapel Green group. Who's next?
Francis Mass is listed next.
Okay.
Well, good evening, gentlemen. My name is Frances Mast, and I live at 15 Autumnwood Way. We moved to our new home in 1999, and I am very concerned about Mr. Hazard's plan to open an auto repair shop on Connie's Chapel Road. In his application papers, I see that he provided a copy of Sussex County Code 115-171. It's a conditional use. On line 4, it says, and I quote, "These uses are generally of a public or semi-public character and are essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare." So now I started thinking, does this community really need an auto repair shop? I talked to my husband and to my neighbors, and no one said they really had a hard time finding a car repair shop. I then went to the telephone book, the Yellow Pages. I looked up auto repair, and we have put them now in the submissions that we presented to you. They're on pages 44 through 63. Now, there's approximately 40 car shops or more in the surrounding areas of Millsboro, Long Neck, Lewis, and Rehoboth. So there is no shortage of car-related shops, and the Hazard Auto Repair proposal in front of you really meets no community need and serves no community convenience. I even thought, well, maybe Mr. Hazard needed to open this new business to earn a living. Now, my husband told me that Mr. Hazard already has a big garage in Lewis. And I remembered passing this garage many times. And I have some photos of Mr. Hazard's current auto garage, also in Lewis, which also has been submitted to you. So now I thank you for listening to me. And as you can see, even though Mr. Hazard puts a code section in his application that a conditional use should be essential and desirable, there is really no need for an auto repair shop in this very, very nice residential area. So may I say thank you for your patience and for your consideration. Thank you again, sirs.
And we thank you. Okay.
And by the way, if I may.
Certainly may.
Thank you. I'll pass those down to the commissioners. They're a little bit clearer than the Xerox copies.
Yeah.
They're a copy of the photograph.
Good afternoon. Good evening, commissioners. My name is Peter Blessinger, and I'm a resident of Chapel Green. I live at 11 Aspenwood Drive in Chapel Green. As a preliminary matter, I prepared these I have some Google Earth photos of the area. I'd like to just put those up on the board and give a little description of what they show.
And you are submitting those into the record, for they will remain a part of the record in our possession until such time as we go through all the public hearing steps and appeal times.
That's fine.
Okay.
I'm showing you this, which is a view of Conley's Chapel Road. This is on the lower right, is the intersection of Robinsonville, and it goes on past Wilking and then past Dorman Road and into the wooded area. The next area up would be Beaver Dam. Now, here's the area to be rezoned. Not rezoned, but a conditional use. That's where the application is. Now, I'd just like you to look at the lots in this neighborhood. This is a developing, growing neighborhood. This is a pretty much a high-end neighborhood. So along Conley's Chapel Road, you have significant large lots. Now you have the community of Chapel Green entrance is right near the entrance to the proposed auto repair shop. This community goes back. So I wanted to show you that, and I wanted to show you a larger view of this area. A little larger view. Here's Route 24. This is almost the intersection of Robinsonville and Route 24. Here's Conley's Chapel, the beginning of Conley's Chapel Road. This view shows you Conley's Chapel Road going all the way over to its other terminus. By the way, the road is 1.8 miles long.
Thank you.
And this is Beaver Dam Road. So even when you look at a larger view, there's no commercial properties in this area. If you look down along Robinsonville, these are large parcels here in this development. I believe that's Willows. There's large parcels here. So the proposal is totally out of sync with the way the area has developed. It was a farm land at one time, but now the county has encouraged subdivisions and smaller lots. So it's completely changed. So that's our contention, that it shouldn't be in this area. Now, before I go any further, one of the commissioners said that he's going to try to shine a penny. Well, I think he should have got the penny shined before he came here. Here's the Google Earth. Now, I don't want to mislead you. These are images that were taken in 2008, February 2008. So they're not current images. But here's a photo of the unshined penny. This is the chicken coop, rusted top. This is the burn area. This is the fence, screening, tree screening that Darlene Johnson referred to earlier. But if you look closer, you can look at this. And someone said this looked like the county junkyard. Well, look at these. There's cars all over the place here. This is really a horrible property. It's a blight in the area. And this is 2 years ago. You fellas were there yesterday. That penny should be shined before he comes in and asks you to give him a break. There's a maxim in equity that says, that you don't come asking for equity with unclean hands.
That's actually a chancery court argument.
Excuse me?
That's actually a chancery court argument.
He's asking you to do something for him. He's asking you to do something for him that he's not entitled to under the law.
I understand.
So he's asking you for your indulgence.
Right. It's just rare that someone testifying actually uses that term in front of us, the unclean hands, the doctrine of unclean hands.
Unclean hands. Yeah. I look for a more colloquial expression. I went to Roger's Thesaurus, and I didn't find one.
I knew exactly what you meant.
But I think the shiny penny is the analogy. And you have a very dirty penny here. Now, I'm going to distribute another. Excuse me? Did someone say something?
No.
Oh. Just you.
I have
thank you.
Another set of photos. And those photos basically show the road scene on Conley's Chapel Road. It'll give you an idea of some of the houses and buildings that are along that road. And these buildings, these homeowners have been so proud that they've put up almost gatehouses or gates in the beginning of it. So they have beautifully decorated walls and entranceways. And they have brass street numbers on their walls. So it's just giving you a flavor of the way that area has changed. And it's not the type of area for an auto repair shop. Now, Mr. Hazard spoke that he's going to work on street rods. I'm not exactly sure what a street rod is, but I think if I've ever seen one, that they're very loud. You know, it seems these are the type of vehicles that the owner takes down to DMV, goes through inspection, buys his tags, comes home, and then takes the muffler off. Are these the kind of rods that are going to be started up, tuned up, driven back and forth? That's a big concern. Now, the other issue, I mean, and many of the concerns have already been addressed that I had ready for to discuss with you, but the interesting thing was the tractor-trailer question. Now, is it the contention that the tractor-trailer is going to drive in and then go on to someone else's property to leave? Now, that seems to be a violation of the conditional use. Why doesn't he get the whole property on conditional use? Suppose he has a falling out with his brother, and the brother puts a fence up. Tractor-trailer can't turn around. Now, there's one other thing that sort of questions me, troubles me. It seems that what's been submitted or that what we found is that the land is owned by Michael's mother and father. I don't know if that land has been conveyed to him. And I don't know if they actually have given any kind of permission, legal permission, for him to make this application if the land is truly theirs. That's an issue that I don't know. Now, as far as the... Well, I think all the major parts that I had have been pretty much covered. I don't necessarily accept the representations that there'll be no hazardous materials. I'd like something more than just a verbal statement. I don't necessarily accept. I don't even think any mention was made as to the use of paint guns and atmospheric-type pollutants to be used there. I don't know if there's been any representations made about the type of safety equipment that's necessary. So those issues I really think you should look at very carefully. Now, just concluding it, it seems to me that if you have a building of that size, 55 feet by 60 feet, and you're going to have public customers coming in, that's what you envision, that you have to have some type of restroom facilities on that site for the customers. I'm not certain on that, but I think that's something that should be looked at. I don't believe it was mentioned by the applicants. So thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. And who's next?
Robert Woods.
Okay. Here he comes.
I'll be brief. I think some of us have already run into some repetition already.
Sir, we need you to give us your name, please.
My name is Bob Woods. I reside at 15 Amberwood Way in Chapel Green. I've lived there for 8.5 years.
Okay.
Continuing our discussion against the approval of this application, my part in this whole thing, or my purpose for speaking this evening, was we held a series of community meetings at our clubhouse, and most of the residents were very vocal about what their concerns were, and I was going to try to wrap that up if possible. Mr. Blessinger previously mentioned about hazardous materials as a concern. Again, you know, we've heard representation. It might be a carpentry or a landscaper or electrical contractor. We don't know who's going to be renting space in here or what they're going to be storing in those units, for example. Could there be unknown hazardous substances? Be there be something that a landscaper might use, chlordane, something of that nature? I have no idea. But again, who's going to monitor that for us? Is Mr. Hazard going to take responsibility and police those customers to make sure that there are no hazardous threats to us? Something already covered somewhat, the septic system. When we first reviewed the application, it mentioned three employees. Well, that would be three employees of the auto repair segment. As far as the storage compartments, if you will, we don't know what they'll be. We don't know how many employees will be there. I would envision they would come in the morning and possibly come back in the evening. But what happens if they have a problem and contractors get in a problem, they come to pick up something to work, whatever. Who's going to police the idea that these people could come in almost at any time? And here we go again with noise. But we don't know how many employees are going to be here. Employees coming into this contractor storage got to go to a men's or a ladies' room. I mean, they're going to put strain on the existing septic systems that are there. So some of the things we've heard at our meetings. We've heard about the proposed hours, and they are limited in the application. But again, you know, what kind of control is there going to be? Another issue we talked about, and I think someone here brought the question up, was about security fencing. Now, we had met with Mr. Hazard earlier this week, and he expressed the fact that one of the residents did not want to see a fence there. Unfortunately, I'm not so sure that's the case with the rest of the residents that border along the contractor storage areas. And our concern is when it gets rented out, and we don't know who it's going to be rented out to and what will be stored there. One of the things that was mentioned, and I think was mentioned here as a possibility, and I think Monday night we met with Mr. Hazard, was possibly an electrical contractor. Well, the first thing somebody envisioned was, we've all read the horror stories about the copper wiring that's been torn out of tons of equipment around here on farms in Sussex County, as well as copper wire being stolen. So the neighbors are concerned what will go in those storage facilities. Who's going to be concerned about what may in there? Is there going to be problems with vandalism, theft? And will that spill out into the neighborhood as well? So these are all the kind of things, you know, when you talk about was there fencing, you know. And does that bring on the question about the security lighting? Should there be some security lighting? Because, you know, people won't want to have the lighting where it's going to intrude on their homes, but you want to have lighting for security to stop anybody from coming into the neighborhood because nobody wants to get the spillover into their homes. I think there was some reference to it, some paving on the site, but anybody who lives in Sussex County, and that's all of us, we do know that there's always problems with, you know, we're low-level drainage. How much impervious surface would there be envisioned to be paved here, and will that create additional drainage problems anywhere? And I think the last issue is the one that might concern many of us as much. What would happen if your recommendation to County Council is to approve this application, and for some unforeseen reason, in a year or two or 3 years when it's all completed, for some reason, Mr. Hazard might feel compelled that he has to sell the property? I mean, Mr. Hazard lives across the street, and we understand that that would be a safeguard for a lot of reasons. But now he no longer owns a property and someone else buys it that doesn't live in our area. What concern would they have for our conditions that we're concerned about? So I guess, you know, to sum it up, you know, these are some of the things, and nobody wants to go through the whole litany of things that we have heard over the last few weeks. But there were a few answers apparent in the application as we saw it. Now, we did hear some information here tonight that might be helpful. So I guess I would just say, thank you for all your indulgence. We certainly would appeal for you to make a recommendation that this be denied for the reasons that you've heard from many of our residents.
Thank you. All right, sir. We thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Okay. Anyone on the commission have any questions? Okay, before we close the public hearing, let's have a show of hands, if you would, please, for those who are in favor. The applicant accepted, obviously. Okay, and those who are opposed, please put them up, keep them up. Our attorney's going to count them. Please give him plenty of time. Please give him plenty of time. He's a lawyer, not a mathematician. And one hand to a person.
Listen, what we'll do is we'll count the names of the sign-ins, and then we'll count whoever's left when they all leave.
Yeah, there you go.
There's no way I'm going to count all those.
Vince Robertson, Rodney's counted them on this side already.
Yeah, I hear you.
He said there's 28 over here.
Eight in the back.
8 in the back. That's 36, 37, 34. Rodney's got them.
Rodney's used to doing it. Yeah, it looks like about 32 on the left side.
32, 8, and 24
I
is
I can't see
what,
all the
68?
Ones in the back.
I got 74.
74, the total 74. All right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, hold on. A couple other points for you. Number one, thank you very much for being here. Those of you who spoke, I know you don't do it every day, and everyone did a fine job. You're the lady that kind of gave us the overview in the beginning, did an excellent job setting everything up for you, did a good job. Now, we're going to close the public hearing in a minute, and a very strange phenomenon is going to happen, okay? We're going to close the public hearing. You're all going to get up to leave, and your mouths are going to come open the minute you get up. It just happens. It's an automatic reaction, okay? Now, we have four more of these tonight, okay? And we're going to keep rolling. So what I'm going to ask you to do for us is when we adjourn the public hearing, I would like you to get up but keep the mouth closed and get out of this room just as fast as you can, and then go out front in front of the courthouse and have a field day. Talk to your as much as you want. You've all been very wonderful. I appreciate you being here. We'll close the public hearing. You are welcome to stay with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.